Welcome, everybody, to week two of the Sports Wrap-Up on the Rob Has a Podcast Network. My name is Grace. I am excited to be back. We had a wonderful wild card weekend in the NFL. The Australian Open kicked off last night, technically, time zones and all of that. The first round's matchups have started, but we are going to come to you today with a little bit of a preview of who you should be keeping an eye out for. And we'll talk about some other stuff along the way. But as always, I'm going to be joined by some guests. So first, I would like to introduce Sasha Joseph. Sasha, how are you doing?
Oh, hi, Grace. So excited to be here. Can't believe we're finally talking sports on RHAP.
But yes,
it's a great week. Bill Belichick lost and Nick Saban lost.
Big time.
What a time to be alive, people. Yeah, the devil said, time's up.
That's right. We are also joined today by the wonderful Jason Reed. Jason, how are you doing?
Grace, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. Although I'm a little confused. You want me to come on and talk about NFL, but
yeah,
as a Baltimore Ravens fan, I recall there not being an NFL season. They just canceled it.
Jason, so, do you know how many Baltimore Ravens fans there are in the Rahab podcasting world?
I'm aware. Should I have, who do I have on?
Is it rude to have them on at this point?
We don't consider the season to be authentic. So we're just going to, I don't know what I came on to talk about. So, cause there was no football, no NFL.
When I lose a game or something, you know, a video game or a board game, and I feel like something shady went on, I just say, yeah, well, you won, but you win with an asterisk. So whoever wins this season, we'll put a big asterisk next to their name, honorary for the.
Yeah, we lost that save file for that video game. I don't know what.
Yeah. That's so weird. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, the first thing I think we'd like to do each week as we have a rotating panel of guests, people who are going to pop in. I want to know your sports background, which teams you follow, maybe which sports you follow more than others. What do you love about sports? So, Sasha, kick us off. What's your sports background? Who are your teams? Who do you root for?
Yeah, I my sports background is wild. My grandpa actually almost qualified for the India, like, Olympic team for field hockey. Wow. So sports has like been around in my family forever. Like, I didn't really have a choice but to be part of sports. So when I grew up in India, cricket obviously was huge. So, you know, in 2023, India is hosting the World Cup. So yes, obviously this podcast will be going on then. And hopefully you'll have me on, Grace, to talk about the cricket ICC World Cup.
So I mean, this is a thing I think I'm excited to dive into every corner of the sports world that we can. Yes, dive into. I want to talk about cricket. We're going to talk about European soccer. The African Cup of Nations is on right now. I want to talk to people. If there's an Aussie out there who wants to talk about Australian rules football, come on. Ooh. I think giving the update on these like world of sports that maybe as North Americans we're not as familiar with, I think could be really fun. So cricket is on my list for sure.
Yes. Oh my God. I got you. I'm not the cricket expert, but I'm obsessed. Okay. So I'll be there. And you know, there's a lot of India specific games too. Like they're called Coco Kabaddi. There's two of them. So they're technically regional, but I think Kabaddi is now like they have an international, like little, I don't know, tournament. So it's like, it's been really fun. And obviously I moved to Oklahoma. I went to school at the University of Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. So we know the Sooners, you know, the most toxic relationship I've been in, obviously, is with Oklahoma football. So it's great. We love it. But also, you know, if any Oklahoma fans are out there, just know I'm with you. It's been a hard few weeks for us with, you know, I'm not allowed to curse. So, you know, we know who I'm talking about over there at that USC school. So, you know, can't wait for USC to keep its losing record. So it's great. And, you know, any Oklahoma team is my team. So obviously even the Thunder is the Thunder right now. Gotta love them. So that's kind of my sports like thing. I'm obsessed with sports. I think it's unhealthy, but I love it. It gives me a reason to live sometimes and to feel like I'm gonna have a heart attack, because if you watch Oklahoma football, you know it's a roller coaster, and you're just like, why do I choose to do this to myself? Why?
I was saying earlier that I'm Canadian, and so I think something I say on pretty much every podcast now. But the college sports world of it all, it's not really a culture that we have up here. And, you know, when I've been reaching out to folks about, like, what should we be talking, you know, what are the news stories of the week? College football in particular, college basketball a bit too. People very much want us to talk about it. So we will make sure it gets its love. Jason, what about you?
Well, I moved to Baltimore when I was about 12 years old, and it was right around the time the Baltimore Ravens first started their organization. So I've been pretty much entrenched in that since I was about 12 years old. So that's my team.
Yep.
Those are my people. And that's pretty much NFL is pretty much the only thing I follow, but I mm-hmm. follow it religiously.
Okay.
So I have no room for anything else.
Okay. That's okay. That makes sense. Sometimes, yeah, you got to be ride or die for something. That's, it makes sense. So we're going to dive right in. It was wild card weekend. Technically, it still is wild card weekend. As we are recording this, there is one game left to play. The Cardinals and the Rams play this evening. Unfortunately, we are recording before that game begins, but you know, let's talk about what everybody in the sports world is talking about, which I believe is, the stupidity of the Dallas Cowboys, perhaps. I feel like is number one trending topic in the world right now. I'm very sorry, Cowboys fans, if you're listening. I saw a good tweet that said we should get rid of the word Cowboys. There's a bandwagon for Cowboys fans, because what fan would jump on a bandwagon to subdue themselves to 20 years of this, which I think is right. I think, yeah. So rough weekend for the Cowboys. They, you know, they have, successfully pull off a fake punt only to then get called for a delay of game. Yeah. And then, the last play of the game ends in this very weird fashion. To run it through for folks who may not have seen it, they have a very impressive drive. They're down the field. Looks like they're going to be able to set up, you know, in decent field position to throw a Hail Mary, have one play to win. But Dak Prescott decides to run the ball. And in the confusion of trying to huddle it and spike the ball, the clock just runs out. Seems like Prescott tried to give it to his center rather than giving it to the referee, who has to touch the ball. The referee runs into Dak Prescott and the clock just runs out. And like barely any, like it sound there, the Cowboys apparently are quite, you know, upset that they thought like replay would have put time back on the board, but they said, no, that's the game. You ran out of time. Sorry. Goodbye.
Grace, don't apologize to the Cowboy fans. The Cowboy fans are used to their Cowboys taking their Cowboy gun and shooting themselves in the foot constantly in or near the playoffs every year. This is about what happens.
Yeah, the Cowboys, I think someone tweeted this, but they said the Cowboys are the Sooners of the NFL.
Okay.
And truer words have not been spoken. Sooners is the Oklahoma team. Because it's true. Where they
not a Sooners fan. Yeah. What is the comparison?
To the playoffs, only to always lose.
Okay.
In the playoffs. So, you know, I was like, hate speech. I don't appreciate it. But is it true? Yes. I mean, just bless their hearts. Like, they had lost their mind. I don't know what happened. The ref literally had to, like, push Dak Prescott out of the way. This man makes $30 million.
Something like that. Yeah.
Like, get out of here. And Grace, I think you should end every podcast with that, with the soundbite of the ref saying the game is over.
The game is over.
The podcast is over. I'm going to
dump the podcast
into it's over. And that will be that's how we sign off. That's actually good. I always struggle with how to sign off a podcast.
So I feel like you should just say that now.
Dak and McCarthy should be thanking those refs. Those refs saved them the embarrassment of 2-0, probably Hail Mary passes that never would have connected.
Yep.
That they just would have lost the game in that embarrassment. But now they can sit here and blame the refs for their loss. So you know what? Thank those refs, or you know, for what you believe is a miscarriage of justice.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy says that he was told, somebody told him the time would get added to the clock, like it would, you know, and I just don't know where does that exist? Where does
I mean, how much money are these people be making to like do this, you know, like this is where if any NBA fans out there, right, like when your player misses a free throw, you're like, no, this is what you get paid to do. So like you should be fined if you miss a free throw.
But the temerity of Dak to like take the ball and like I'll place the ball where it's supposed to go. Like I'm official here.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
No, you know what happens. You give the ball to the ref and they place it.
I mean, JJ, you talked about saving themselves embarrassment. So are we in full on conspiracy mode that Dak, you know, I'll place the ball and then, you know, waste time and let the clock run out and then they, you know, they can sleep.
I think he's just dumb. I think he was in the moment.
We're getting Survivor level, like social strategy. And just remember that a lot of these people might have CT. We don't know.
True. Prescott said afterwards, I made the call knowing that we're going to get some yards and get down and I've got to clock it. Knowing the situation, we've practiced it over and over again, ran up, got some yards. I saw 4 seconds left on the clock and then got hit from behind. Saw 2 seconds, thought I could get the snap. I'm not exactly sure what happened other than that. You ran out of time. I mean, I was listening to some, I guess the like sort of like football rule of thumb is, you know, you basically, as long as you have 14 seconds, you can sort of guarantee that's like, you know, you're good to go. And they had 12 seconds on the clock. So it's not a good play call to run up the middle of the field.
And he had so much runway to just fall before that.
Exactly.
And get up and clock it. They believe that 1 second was all that was, you know, dividing them to glory.
It would have been quite the win for the Cowboys.
And then they try to pull what the Raiders did, right? Where they're trying to spike the ball. And you're like, no, you have negative time at this point. You're lucky that you got to do one play. And then you decide to spike the ball. It's like, what a comedy of errors that led us to this moment. Like Grace, you and I were on Puya's stream, right? When this was happening. So I recorded it.
Same.
Somehow had no spoilers. Well, I didn't get on Twitter is what happened. And my husband just texted me, ha ha ha. That's all he did. So I was like, oh, that must mean something happens at the end. And then like, so it's one minute left. My bestie Devo, who, you know, saved me many times in the playoffs.
Yes.
In our RHAP league, as we Jason
used to
knows.
Beat me 1 week.
Oh, I didn't know.
In our league. Oh.
I didn't know I brought on beef here. No,
we're with the celebrity, Grace. This is our winner of the RHAP league.
That's right,
so. Jason.
Yes.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah.
Just before playoffs, I was great. After that, flop city. But Debo, you know, I'm like, wow, Debo's always clutch. And then he doesn't make it. He doesn't. It's like fourth. Was it fourth and inches? And horrible, hot mess. So I was like, oh, they win.
Oh, there's that whole thing, too, where they reposition the ball on the replay and it ends up being just short. So the Cowboys actually get the ball back. And that drive is really good. I don't know what the 49ers defense, they're not protecting the sideline at all. So they just keep throwing the ball and then running out of bounds.
On that Dak run, they had finally decided to line everybody up on the sideline. Like, okay, well, we're not going to let them get the previous two plays let him get out of bounds. I'm like, now we're just going to protect the sideline. And they're like, perfect. I know, I'll just run in the middle.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So there was also some controversy post game where fans, unfortunately, were throwing garbage at the referees. They were mad at the referees over in Arlington Stadium. Dak gives this interview where he first gets asked, and I guess he presumes that people are throwing garbage at the Cowboys. And
so
he
said
they also threw
garbage. There's
Cowboys.
Video of like, yeah.
Well, I think they were aiming for the refs and they actually hit
everybody
some Cowboys.
Sure.
Everybody got hit. Yeah. So Dak is kind of like, that's bad. You know, I can't believe, you know, I know that fan is short for fanatic, but like, you got to support the team. And then somebody's like, actually, I think they were throwing at the refs. And he's like, oh, good for them.
Good on you, Dak. In that case,
you can't allow it. You can't flip flop like that. And also, that's bad. Don't throw garbage. Don't throw things at people. It's not good. Don't do it.
As a sore loser, I believe that's what I would say. I believe 100% that is what I would say. And then I'd probably get fined for it. I don't care. But I think I would say it's not right. Don't do that. They're human beings.
Yeah.
But people get very worked up over sports and it's disgusting. Sure. Like
people get so passionate over something they have no control over.
See, and it's like, who are you? Have you ever played a sport in your life? Like me, Do you think I could even run 100 yards anymore? No, but look at me dragging these players like I am worth anything. Like, please stop it. And I, as someone that's been to that stadium multiple times, like it gets rowdy. It really does. And folks, like, do y'all remember Jerry Jones and his family's face? Like, that is burnt in my memory forever. When they pan to the Jones family, like, I was like, get some sun in there, you know, like it's like vampires. Like, why? Yep, sure. They look so scary.
I feel like if I touch Jerry, he'll just turn to dust.
Yes, it does.
A light breeze might do it. Yeah. He called it, I think, perhaps the most disappointing loss he can remember in Cowboys. I mean, there's been some bad ones, but you know, this one seems to. I mean, they had a good season, right? And then to just for it all to fall apart here.
He walked off at 55 seconds. So I'm pretty sure there was a whole minute of the game Jerry Jones just missed. He just said, nah.
How do we feel about Mike McCarthy's job as the Cowboys coach? Do you think he's back next season?
Stephen Jones came out today and said that he's pretty confident that McCarthy will be retained next year. I'm not sure why he's confident. I mean, he's in some control of that team. He's like, I'm confident, I guess. But I just wouldn't put it past Jerry to, like, you know,
change it up.
Compulsively just fire one day, like, you know, forget this.
I think it is a tough job to be a coach. Sorry, in the NFL. You know, I think that, you know, we can be harsh on some coaches. I do think that, like, you know, this is a pretty prestigious job. That if they end up firing Mike McCarthy, they'll find someone. They'll be okay. I think the Cowboys. You know, I don't know who's out there, but you know, I think you could. You could probably
wonder, like, Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator, is like going out for job interviews for head coaching positions this coming week. It's just like, what do those people do? Like, you put on tape, like, so can you explain this? Like, you guys have a generational talent in CD Lamb, who got like, I think one pass, like, in the first half. I think maybe one pass the whole game. Like, can you explain how this guy didn't get the ball at all?
Yeah,
and why are you giving it to people that just can't hold on to the ball? Like, people we've not heard of in the whole season.
Why are y'all playing Zeke with a busted knee?
Yeah,
instead of Tony Pollard, who every time Tony Pollard gets the ball, he's so dynamic and so fast. But you continually giving this broke down man Zeke Elliott the ball continually over and over again for him to get a 2 yard gain.
Is this one single play, the last play of this game, the equivalent of someone having a resume with like a 5 year gap? Like, is it, you have like a gap in your resume? I see. You made this play call at the end of the game.
Here. Can you tell me about your last game? Like, no, don't worry about that. That was
not. That was in a rough. It was a rough time.
Because I'd be like, as the offensive coordinator, you throw a fun, you know, your punting theme. Team gets you the first down. Wow, beautiful, amazing. Why are they back on the field? Like, the math ain't mathing.
We were trying to make them think we wanted to punt on first down. See, we were trying to play mind games with them. But then we got on the field late.
Yeah, the double fake punt.
They thought they were playing peewee football, right? Like, which, listen, it's huge in Texas. And like in Texas, peewee football is real.
Yeah.
Yes. They play tackle football. I think there's a whole Netflix series about it. But still, like, you're not playing dummies. Like, you're playing the 49ers. You know, you allegedly, right, the people that whoever wins the matchup between the two has gone on to win the Super Bowl, right? Like, it's a storied matchup. There's a lot of stress. And then you go, you bring the punt team out on first and 10. This is where you're just like, you want to lose the game.
To continue the dysfunction, they had like 14 penalties.
Correct.
Which is like the most, I think, in postseason history for them.
They tied their franchise record. Yeah.
Randy Gregory had like 3 offside penalties like throughout the game, like just killing them.
I mean, the fact that they got the ball back was incredibly surprising in the first place. So to say that they got that last drive at all was fairly lucky. I mean, the 49ers, I didn't even think, you know, I thought Garoppolo had a really good last quarter in week 18 against to get into the playoffs. But, you know, this was the Cowboys game too. Every game, I mean, the rest of the games, everything really felt like pretty assured who's going to go home. I think everything else has lined up exactly as we thought. And yet, yeah, the Cowboys, I think it's like why it also is like wild, because it's like they're the one team that sort of blew it in the game they should have won.
Yep. Yeah, I mean,
Garoppolo'd. He was, you know, he didn't yeah. lose in the game, but he just wasn't spectacular. Under 200 yards passing. I mean, the star of the show is Debo, obviously.
King.
Yes. And then, you know, you got Eli Mitchell, who is like fantastic. And then there's a threat of George Kittle, but George Kittle only had one pass an entire game. But I think the threat of him is enough to make an impact. But yeah, you know, the 49ers, they're all right. I just don't think they're going to.
No,
Jeff,
no. I wish Debo would win, but you know, I don't care for the 49ers to win, even though I'm from the Bay Area. But it's just, I don't know. I think Jimmy Garoppolo's receivers make him look so good.
Right.
And when I say receiver, like I include running backs or whatever. Anyone catching the ball for this man makes him look so good. But he's so meh. Like, I was just like, didn't you draft someone else to replace him? Why is he still here?
They have they get the Packers next week. So I don't, I don't,
49ers.
Yeah, I think that's the end of the road for them. Okay. In other news, sort of in the exact opposite of the Cowboys mismanagement of their game, the Buffalo Bills have what was considered the first perfect offensive game. They score a touchdown on all seven offensive drives, excluding, when they were kneeling at the end of the game. They did not take a sack. They did not throw an interception. Went for six or seven on third downs. The only third down they didn't convert was the final kneel down of the game. The only negative yardage plays were the two kneel downs at the end of the game. They gained yards on 49 out of their 51 plays, again, excluding their kneels. And they had more touchdown passes than incompletions, against a fairly decent defense in the New England Patriots. I loved it. I thought it was very fun. It was great.
It was definitely the most splashiest game of the week, the most entertaining.
For sure. Yes.
You know, the most curve stomping game for sure. I mean, the Bills just were going up and down the field constantly.
Yeah. They win 47-17. Absolutely dominant performance. Josh Allen looking great. Yeah.
Yeah, but you ever do something that's not totally important, like you leave your house and you're like, oh my God, is it really this cold outside? And you decide, you know what? I don't need to do this today. I'm going to stay inside with my heat. I feel like if I was a Bill or a Patriot to go into that game, I would have been like, nah, I'm going to stay inside. I'm not going to go to this game. I'm going to stay here. They were like,
cold.
Dragons. You could see their breath like every time. They
Isn't that what Mac Jones was doing? Like he was, when they were giving him the play, right? He was just staring at his breath. I think, which again, be relatable, because I think I would also, but you're down bad, my guy, you're down bad. But to me, it was perfection, because I'm not a Bill Belichick fan. Like I'm over the dynasty, right? Like, and I think Tom Brady separating himself made me like Tom Brady a little more. Yeah. So now I'm like, yes, you lose. Like, again, I always root against Alabama. I think so does the rest of the country, because you just don't want these people to win anymore. Like, I'm over it. Like, I don't live for it. Your contract with the devil is up. And what a way to go. Like, I appreciate it, Buffalo. Thank you for doing this for us. Thank you.
Two of my top five sites are an angry Bill Belichick losing and a upset, crying, frustrated baby Tom Brady. I got one of those things this weekend.
Yes.
I'm hoping for the other one, you know, this coming weekend.
We can touch on this a little bit. The Buccaneers, pretty handily beat the Eagles 31-15. Seemed to be pretty kind of dry. They will play whoever wins tonight between the Rams and the Cardinals. Could see the Buccaneers losing next week.
No, they're not losing. I believe they're going to the Super Bowl.
I think that's probably a good bet as well.
Yeah.
The Bills, after winning this game, looking really dominant, will play the Chiefs next weekend at the Chiefs. I mean, you know, there are a lot of Buffalo Bills fans where I am. We do not have an NFL team up here in Canada. So a lot of people gravitated towards Buffalo. People drive down to Buffalo. It sort of feels like I feel like the story of like they have the perfect week and then they go to the Chiefs and they lose next weekend. Yeah, feels like. I can absolutely see that happening. I'd be very excited for a Bills run. I'm not like a Bills fan, you know, exactly. But, you know, them having some success could be fun.
I'm definitely pulling for the Bills. You know, I also have to wonder in this game if they were, you know, had some performance, they had some drugs. You know, Bart Scott, a former linebacker for both the Ravens and the Jets, had suggested that the Bills players use Viagra to increase their circulation in what their, the in their body.
In this cold game?
Yeah, you guys hear about this?
No.
Yeah. Josh Allen was complaining about how cold his feet get. So yeah. Bart Scott on one of the ESPN shows, I suggested that they take Viagra before the game and insisted that all of him and his teammates had used to take Viagra to increase circulation in their body to help them, you know, keep warm during the game.
Oh, so my good 4 hours, apparently.
If the game lasts more than 4 hours, go see your doctor.
So Bart Scott tells that he has some advice for Josh Allen about his circulation. A rep for Viagra says that they do contain something here, sildenafil or whatever is that, should only be used the approved indications and always under the supervision of a physician, says Viagra. So
is that a football in your pocket or are you just happy to see it?
Good thing they have cups on, Jason, so it'll be fine.
It'll be fine. Yeah. Wow. And it says apparently Viagra can make a player fail a PED test. So that would be pretty embarrassing to get slap with a suspension for taking Viagra. Interesting. I feel like there's other ways to keep warm. I mean, I'm Canadian. There are definitely other ways.
Maybe hand warmers.
Yeah, but without any
neck warmers,
like, jackets, how do you stay warm?
Could you put on a jacket? Like, has anybody ever tried that?
Just
like James Jones used to have a hoodie on under his jersey back in the day. But I wonder if you just put on a full parka on over your jersey.
I mean, like, I just don't think you can move as well. I guess if you're O-line, I don't even think for D-line because you need to rush. So I think maybe
if you're quarterback, you probably have puffy arms. You can't really, you know.
What if everybody has to agree that they're all going to wear jackets? And then it's even playing field for
everybody. I would show up without a jacket so I have more like versatility. And
well, you know, sometimes they have the like those people that the football players are like want to come across as hard. They're like, oh yeah, this is you know, -2 degrees. I'm out here warming up without a shirt on. Like, you have that in the pregame line.
Listen,
yeah, everybody's like, I'm out here with no shirt on and -2.
Listen, we got a lot of snow today up in Ontario. It's a huge, I think like everywhere in Ontario got between like 20 to 50 centimeters of snow. I did do a lot of shoveling today. I wore a very nice jacket. And by the end of that whole time, I was very hot. So, you know, maybe a jacket during a football game is actually, you know, could be a bad idea. Well, so
let's hear Grace. So here in Baltimore, we got some snow last night. Yeah. By the time I got up for work this morning, all gone. Thank you, global warming.
Well, here in the Bay Area, I think it's been like 50 or 60 degrees.
Yeah.
So here we are.
Yeah. But so
I will. Oh,
yeah. No, go for it.
No, I will say that you could also just be warm by doing the, oh my God, not me forgetting his name. What is the, I'm here, so I don't want to get fined. What's his name?
Oh, Marshawn. Oh,
yes. The Marshawn Lynch method, right? He used to take 2 shots of whiskey.
True.
I believe, or Jack. To warm up. So that's a way to get fined.
There's lots of ways. Okay. I feel like if you're, did he do it on the sideline? I feel like.
Yeah, right before the game started. Like,
he, oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. He believed it.
Well, no surprise liquor's allowed at the, you know,
same.
On the sidelines.
Listen, you're going to say no to Marquise Brown. Like, you're not going to say no to him.
All right, so we had some other games. The Raiders and the Bengals, they played a little bit of a closer game than sort of I thought it might be. 26-19, the Bengals win and move on. Felt like maybe the Raiders, when they, week 18, when they pulled out their victory, I felt like their defense, you know, Max Crosby was really good. I feel like they just like, they weren't as strong.
I'm mad at them for beating the Chargers, obviously.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the Chargers, which is, giving us a better game because the Raiders raidered. That's what it was. I'm sorry, but they were just average.
I feel like it was a good game. I don't know. I feel like people are really dragging the Raiders. Like, One, what did you expect? A special teams coach is the head coach, right? So what were y'all expecting? Derek Carr, my husband's a Raider fan, so I will say I got like the lowdown of all of this. And I was like, no, Derek Carr to me is, I don't know that he's a top 10 quarterback, but like, I think he's okay. It was his first start, right? In a playoff game, which is wild.
So, I do think there was the, you know, the drive at the end of the game where he's throwing the ball out of bounds on these plays. Like, I think, you know, yeah, it's his first playoff game. I think, you know, I think he's probably there next season. I don't think he goes anywhere, but you know, yeah, maybe he just needs some more time in the playoffs. Maybe, I don't know, but I just feel like, yeah, that last drive.
Yeah.
Derek Carr pulls off some spectacular come from behind victories every now and then sprinkled in. Yeah. So I really think that makes him a lot more overrated than he actually is. But right. in the typical, he's a very average quarterback.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's so unfortunate because I feel like the Raiders could have won.
They definitely could have won. They were
because of exactly what you said.
Yeah,
Jason, right? Is like that they always come from behind randomly. And then you're like, well, what the hell? I thought you were done. But they couldn't do it. But I just want to say, how do we feel about Jerome Booger, the ref?
Listen, he looks like my deceased grandfather. So I'm going to give old Pop Booger some grace. The whistle didn't matter at all.
No, 100%. I agree.
It didn't matter.
Like they were making a big to do of it, but
so I do think like the thing here is like it didn't matter, but also like they're just lying about it.
Yeah, like, that pisses me off.
No, it happened after the play, and like it doesn't really look like anybody is like changing. Is like, oh, the whistle blew. Like I'm going to stop. Like,
my guy, we were all there.
Yeah,
it was video recorded. We have the evidence.
Everything. They're just like, we don't. It's we don't know who blew it, but also it was fine. We blew it after.
It was a fan in the stands. They had a whistle.
At least lie, right? Be like, we didn't blow it. I'm not sure where it came from.
It's such a contradiction to be like, we don't know who did it. Also, it doesn't matter who blew it because it's fine.
It's like, pick a side.
Just don't worry about it.
Apparently, that they're out. They will not be.
Yeah.
Anything else.
Here's the thing about officials in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like they take these different officials from different crews. I guess the officials that are rated the highest throughout the season, but they mismatch all the crews. I think that's really not a great idea. I think the overall crews that have the greater score should work together because then you have a bunch of people that have never worked together that don't have great communication and that are just kind of, because you can see them multiple times throughout the game, like getting together, like, oh, I don't know what happened. You pointing at each other, like, what do you see?
They're always like touching each other on the bed. They're always very supportive.
They're the only people that have each other's back. Let's be honest, because that was horrible. Like the amount of penalties that were being called, and it's just like holding here, holding there, roughing the passer. But then when it's an actual pass interference, no call. Like it just the math was not mathing on this whole thing. But I do believe the Bengals deserve to go. Like they just worked harder. I feel like the Raiders players were a little lethargic to watch. Yeah. Like Darren, right? Or Waller, whatever, the tight Darren end. Waller.
Yeah.
I was like, bless your heart, but like you not in this. Like you just missed a catch and then you're just walking up to, you know, back to the huddle. It's like, pep in your step, sir.
Yeah, he had such a disappointing season. Like he started off hot this season, then he got injured, and then he came back injured. And he hasn't been the same since. But I did feel like the Bengals were really like they weren't really trying that hard. I feel like they were like, they're the Raiders. We're not going to show all of our stuff off against the Raiders.
And they almost lost for it.
It kind of felt like the Raiders were like, yeah, I'm probably not going to win. The Bengals were like, yeah, it should be easy. And like then they both kind of didn't try. And so it ended up being this like actually kind of close game that the Bengals definitely could have lost. It definitely could have gone into overtime. So, yeah, I mean,
like they were like, if we keep it within 10 points all the time, we'll be fine. You know, as long as you keep a 10-point cushion, it'll be fine. We don't have to try the hard. Chase did everything that game. I'm not sure Higgins even had a catch. I don't remember, but you know, Boyd had that touchdown catch and Mixon ran well. But other than that, it was just very like they settle for field goals a lot. That's why I feel like if you're playing like
Higgins had one reception for 10 yards.
But if you're playing they're playing the Bills next week. Like if you're playing the Bills, you're not going to keep kicking field goals. We're going to go for a fourth down a lot more. But I feel like they were playing the Raiders and they were like, Probably survive against the Raiders.
So the Bengals play the Titans next week, which I actually think is a winnable game. They play the Titans
next week.
The Bills play the Chiefs. Oh, yeah, I got it. Mm-hmm. I do think that's a winnable game, but gosh, they got to have more energy than they did.
Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, like, even though I'm married to a Raider fan, mm-hmm. I will always root for the OU players. So obviously Joe Mixon had to win, and Joe Mixon's backup, Samaje Perine, also at OU. So I was like, listen, I'm always going to be rooting for them. I hope the Bengals do make it far. I feel like Joe Burrow is really great and clutch. So mm-hmm. let's see what happens. I feel bad for the Raiders. I felt like they could have won, but they just weren't there.
Yeah.
It wasn't happening.
Yeah, so the other two games, we talked a bit about the Buccaneers beating the Eagles. The Chiefs beat the Steelers. Feels like these are pretty academic wins from these two teams.
I will say this: like, I hope y'all NFL are happy with your little seven seed playoff games now. Mm-hmm. Like, do you see what happened? Like,
yeah.
I feel like it's like a Survivor Final Four fire making twist. Like, y'all did this, like, and all you got was the winner getting to show off, you know, against a weaker opponent. Like, we're going to drub these teams.
Hey,
we get like a warm up game.
We got one more Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh,
don't get me started. Listen, I believe
that man didn't want to be there.
No, I do believe last week he was at his house and he was rooting for that tie. He was like, I do not want to do this. Please tie. I mean, so I have to go back out there.
Yeah. I mean, his last game, I mean, he was on the road on his last week of this.
I don't want to talk about his last game.
Oh yeah. We should talk about it actually. Who did they play, Grace? I wonder.
Yeah. But yeah, now he just like loses embarrassingly to the Chiefs. It's like, okay.
That man did not give two F's about losing.
The only time he cared was the last drive, so he could like end the game with a touchdown.
Well, that's like, why.
I don't think he cared that much.
Wanted to end it. He was like, let me end it.
He was hurrying. Yeah, he was like hurrying them. And then she's like, no, let's they come at the, like the 4-yard line. I was so happy. Yeah.
He said, hurry up offense so I could get into my bed because it's done.
Yeah.
God. That man did not give two F's this whole game. I don't care what anyone says. He was like, it's cold. You had me out here in Kansas.
Yeah.
Playing like some guy that scored 5 touchdowns in 10 and a half minutes. Like, who am I? Like, I'm too old to be here.
Well, even before the game, he was like, we're going to go out there and have fun, I guess. I don't know what you want me to tell you.
This game was on, this was the late night game last night. I was recording a podcast, so I recorded the game and then was watching it a bit later. And I checked in after the first, I was like, oh, no score. Like, I checked the final score. It's like 42-21. How did this happen?
The Chiefs were like, psych. You thought we was actually going to like not do well. Come on. Let me throw these 5 touchdowns real quick.
Oh my God. They ran out of fireworks. Because they had so many touchdowns that they ran out of fireworks.
That's incredible. That's amazing. The Chiefs move on. The Buccaneers move on. Let's very quickly, I'm going to get your predictions for next weekend. So the first up on Saturday, we have the Bengals at the Titans. Who do you have?
Yeah, Bengals. I want the Bengals because I need OU players to win. Uh-huh. But I feel like the Titans might pull it out.
I think it's going to depend on Derrick Henry and how healthy he is. I'm going to take the Bengals. What's the
latest on Derrick Henry? Is he?
So I think he's slated to definitely be back. He might. Yeah. They were giving him a shot to be back the last game of the season, but he didn't make it back. But I do think I'm pretty positive he'll be back this time. I do have the Bengals winning. I think they're going to get their act together. I think they know who they're going up against. So their fireworks, the offensive fireworks are going to be going fast. They're going to get everybody involved and need to get involved. And I just feel like the Titans aren't explosive enough.
For the sake of my brother, who would kill me if I said otherwise, I'm going to go with the Titans here. Titans over Bengals. Then we have the late night game on Saturday is the 49ers, the Packers. I have the Packers. Sorry, Garoppolo.
Yeah, Packers. Yep. For sure.
Yeah. But Debo, maybe trade him to the Packers. I don't know.
Right before the game? That'd be good.
Listen, I just want Debo deserves the win for everything he did for me in the fantasy league. You know, like Debo deserves it all.
Sasha, listen, I was in 5 fantasy leagues last year, and you were the only person in one of the leagues that kept me from getting Debo. I had Debo in the other 4 leagues, and I won 2 championships last year. This year.
Ooh. Oh my god.
So you
keep, listen, I did win best draft. I will say did. It's just my players were made of glass and no one told me.
Did you get beat by Sam, the two kickers?
Listen, I had Christian McCaffrey. Okay, no one told me that this man made of glass. So it's not my fault.
Hey, he was the number one pick.
When your number one pick was out.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah. Gosh, Jason being so humble. He's like, earlier we find out, I guess he didn't say he was the winner of the rap.
Yeah, I did.
And then he says, I won two championships. Yeah.
Hey.
What's next?
Hey, if you follow him on Twitter, this is the tea you get. True. Everyone.
I'm telling you, I'm all over it with telling you what I'm doing every week.
All right. Sunday, we have currently TBD because we do not know who's going to win between the Cardinals and the Rams against the Buccaneers. I don't think it really matters who wins tonight. I think the Buccaneers will win.
Yeah. Yep.
Kyler. You know, again, people are going to hate me. They're going to be like, Grace, don't ever have Sasha back on. But listen, don't sleep on Kyler. That's all I'm saying. But unfortunately, Tom Brady is Tom Brady. So we know.
This is a good opportunity. You said don't hate. Don't send hate to my guests. You can send hate to me. You can at me.
No, it's fine. Come for me.
Don't hate to anybody.
No, it's okay. You can come for me. I will drag. I will go to fight for OU players. Ask anyone. Look at my timeline. You don't want the smoke.
Yeah. And then the final game on Sunday is the Bills at the Chiefs. What do you think, Jason?
I have the Bills. I have the Bills taken.
Yeah.
I think that Mahomes and company have proven enough over the year that they can falter, that they can, you know, act not themselves and mess up. So I think I'm gonna give it to the Bills, who have been more consistent, I think.
What do you think, Sasha?
I think it's Kansas again. I think almost all of their O-line is from the University of Oklahoma.
That's what's most important. Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. But it's more that I don't think the Chiefs are going to lose. Like they just have so many, everyone can do everything. Options, I feel like. So it's just, too many ammunitions, too much. It's not possible.
Yeah. But
I think it'll be a good game. I think it might be the best game of the weekend.
I think it might rival the Rams and Chiefs game from a few years ago that was just like 51 to like 56 or something crazy like that.
They scored a combined 89 points this weekend. So certainly be a high scoring game. They each gave up about 20 points. Gave up 21 points to the Steelers, 17 points to the Patriots. So it could be definitely a high scoring game. I will say I was going to go with the Chiefs, but I haven't picked an upset here based on seeding. So I will take the Bills. I think the Bills will win. So that was this weekend, and that was next weekend. A big story coming out of this past weekend was the Bengals broke the longest drought for a playoff win. And so they had not won since 1991. They had not won a playoff game. I believe the next longest drought, I'd have to look up who it belongs to. I'll look it up. But what we're going to do here is we're going to play a little game based on the last time teams won a playoff game. So I'm going to let you two work as a team so you can chat through your options. I'm going to give you a pop culture event, and then I'm going to give you, a team. And you're going to tell me if, for example, whether that the pop culture event happened, I'm going to say either before or after a team won their last playoff game. Does that make sense? Let me give you an example. So the first question I have here is, every Harry Potter movie has been released after the Miami Dolphins last won a playoff game. Is that true or false? So every Harry Potter movie has come out after the Miami Dolphins last won a playoff game.
That'd be true, I believe.
Yeah, for sure true.
That is true. The Miami Dolphins last won a game on December 30th, 2000. Harry Potter 1 was released on November 16th, 2001. So you have a point. That's great. The Green Bay Packers won their last playoff game after Joe Biden was sworn in as president of the United States.
Playoff game?
Yep.
So I think that's false, right?
That's false, right? Yeah.
We're going to go false.
Yeah,
it is false. So the Packers won on January 16th, 2021. And then 5 days later, Joe Biden was sworn in as president.
I didn't think it was that close.
It's very close.
They've been around, I guess.
I knew was they won one last year. And I guess I didn't make the timing of the Biden being sworn in.
It's very close. Let's try this one. Okay, so this one, it's about the Cincinnati Bengals, but we're going to exclude their playoff win from last weekend, talking specifically about the last time before this weekend. Does that make sense? So Sir Mix-a-Lot's Baby Got Back was released before the Cincinnati Bengals' last playoff win, excluding this weekend's win.
So the last playoff win, right? Last
was playoff when win. I, the year I was born, 91, I believe. Ooh,
91, baby? Yeah.
Yeah, 92? I believe, right?
Yeah.
Is when they won last?
I guess so. I shouldn't confirm.
Yeah, well,
but I did say it, I believe, in the intro. So
yeah, no, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it was because I remember being like, "Oh my god, I've been alive as long as they're losing."
So, and then you just have to figure out when Sir Mix-a-Lot's Baby Got Back
came out after, right? For sure.
I'm gonna go with your expertise on here, Sasha. Since
oh my god, I think
so. Baby Got Back was released. So we're gonna go after. Yeah,
I feel like it's like a late '90s, early 2000s.
Three for three. False. The last Bengals win was January 6, 1991. Baby Got Back got released in May of 1992.
Oh, so damn.
Year I didn't know it was that early. I don't know. Okay. Let's see. So the last time Meryl Streep won an Oscar, it was for The Iron Lady. That was that after the New York Giants last won a playoff game.
Do you know the Iron Lady?
The blockbuster film.
The Iron Lady? Like what?
Yeah. The blockbuster
like Margaret film. Thatcher.
She played Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think.
So wait, how many falses have we had so far, Sasha?
Oh don't try.
Let's try and game it.
Okay.
Have we all been all falses so far?
No, you had a false, a true, and a true.
Okay.
False.
No, sorry. You did have a, it's a false, a true, and a false.
Yeah.
Oh, not sure you can game it then. So Iron Lady, I have no idea what that is. Do you have any idea what that is?
I mean, it's a movie about Margaret Thatcher.
It's the last time Meryl Streep won an Oscar for Best Actress. Yeah.
Okay. Can you repeat the question? Sorry.
Meryl Streep won her last Oscar for Best Actress after the New York Giants won a playoff game.
Giants.
So have the Giants won a playoff game since they won their last Super Bowl?
Yeah. When was the last time they won the Super Bowl? It was like, I feel like I watched it.
It was like 2007 or something.
2007. Okay.
I'm not sure about that, but.
Yeah. I want to say Meryl Streep has not won an Oscar since 2007. But it could be that same year. Oh.
Well, Grace has made it very close to the.
Yes.
The event's very close. So let's go. So the question was, did it happen after, right?
Yeah. Happened after. Yeah.
After.
Yeah.
So let's go fall.
Yeah.
So it is a true fact.
Oh, damn. Ah.
So this is very, very close. The New York Giants won the Super Bowl on February 5th, 2012. I just want to make sure I have. Oh, yeah. Well, 2012. And then Meryl Streep won an Oscar on February
26th, 2012. Wow. She won an Oscar in 2012.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want a Survivor one?
Sure.
Chris Underwood won Survivor after the last time the Jacksonville Jaguars won a playoff game.
I feel like that's pretty true. I feel like I feel like that's maybe it's too obvious. I might be wrong.
If anyone watched Jason and I on the Survivor trivia, you know I am not going to answer this question.
So we're gonna go. You said he won after
the last time the Jacksonville Jaguars won a playoff game.
Well, let's go true for that.
Yeah. It is true. Okay. They won on January 14th, 2018. Chris won Survivor on May 15th, 2019, a whole year later. Yeah. Friends aired its last episode before the Las Vegas Raiders won a playoff game. Their last playoff game.
Oh my God.
So was that like 2003, 2004, the Friends finale?
Okay. My husband, he told me this to shit. Yeah, the Raiders I know were early 2000s, I believe.
Oh yeah, your husband is a Raiders fan.
Oh my god, whatever. I doubt he could do Oklahoma.
So let's assume Friends ended on like the June of that year.
Right? Yeah.
And so the season would have ended, or is the season ready to start? Is the question.
Mm. Oh, I think we're getting to like season ending, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to press you on an answer.
Okay.
Friends aired its last episode before the Las Vegas Raiders last won a playoff game.
I feel like that's false.
Yeah, let's go false.
It is false.
Oh, thank
you. The Raiders won a playoff game on January 19th, 2003. The last episode of Friends was on May 6th, 2004. So a year later. You're doing great. I'll give you one. Two more. William and Kate were married before the last time the New York Jets won a playoff game. So basically, have they been married longer than the last time the New York Jets have won a playoff game?
Okay, I think Will and Kate got married when we were in college.
We collectively as a group are in college.
Yeah, we're all close. We're all
pun intended. No.
I am. I'm a 91 baby.
Yeah, I was like, we're the same age. So. Yeah. Right?
I'm decidedly before a 91 baby.
Yeah, so then you probably were in college too.
Well, no, I'm way before a 91 baby. So when do Will and Kate get married?
Oh my God. I just remember that we were in college. Like, I was in college, I feel. Because I remember being, like, so into it. But look at me. Yeah. I could be completely wrong. Because I was like, oh, they met in college. Who the hell am I going to meet that maybe would be a prince?
Looking around?
Yeah. I was like, who's a prince?
The prince here.
Let's make it work.
Give me the team again.
Chris. The New York Jets. Did they win a playoff game?
I feel like it's been a long time since the Jets won.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it's going to be, Grace's trend has been, you know, very close together. So
is it before or like William and Kate were married before or
William and Kate were married before the New York Jets won their last playoff game?
Yeah. Want to say true, but
we'll go true then.
Shot in the dark. I don't know.
Okay, it is false. The Jets last won a playoff game on January 16th, 2011. And then Will and Kate were married on April 29th, 2011. Just a few months apart. It was very close.
Okay, I knew I was in college at least.
Okay, last one. All three Star Wars sequels have come out after the Denver Broncos' last playoff game.
The sequels as in like the Rey and Finn and all that stuff.
Yeah, so the last
I'm going to say false. Yeah,
false. It is false. So the Denver Broncos won Super Bowl 50 on February 7, 2016, but Star Wars The Force Awakens was released in December 2015, so 2 months earlier. Wow, you did very, very well. I think you got 6 out of 8. That is impressive. Folks should tweet at me. Let me know how you did if you were playing along. Okay, what we're going to do now, we're going to swap over. I'm going to be joined by, I guess, Ariel, who's going to chat through some of the happenings at the Australian Open. And then we're going to come back with Sasha and Jason, and we're going to chat through some quick hits around the world of sports. So we will be right back. All right, we are back, and I am here with a special guest. We're going to talk about the world of tennis. The Australian Open is kicking off. If you might be listening to this, some of the tournament might have already started. But we're going to give a little bit of a preview to the Australian Open. There's some big news happening, some of which we'll touch upon. But I'm here with my friend Ariel. How are you doing, Ariel?
I am so excited to be here, Grace, especially with you, but talking about my favorite sport, this is incredible.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Your favorite sport. What is it about tennis? It's your favorite sport. You love tennis.
I need to pick a sport that like very few people know about and care about. No. It's just like one of those things. Like I don't even know how I got into tennis. Like in high school, my best friend was on the tennis team, and I like basically ended up getting involved with the tennis team on like a managerial level. Just like as a student. That sounds like so official, but it's really just like help the coach do stuff, like be a secretary.
Call yourself a manager.
Manager. I would like to speak to the manager.
Yeah.
It's me. But I grew up in Queens, like just a couple of miles from where they play the US Open. Yeah. And we started going to the US Open that year or like the year after that.
Yeah.
And I have been basically going every year. I have missed the big COVID year, obviously, the one that nobody went to, and then one time beyond that I wasn't able to go. And I feel very lucky that I've been able to do that. Mm-hmm. Tennis is like, it's incredible. It's one person, you know, it's very much like golf in a lot of ways, like both the way the tournaments are run and there are four big majors throughout the year. They're like four separate mini Super Bowls. Like each tournament runs for 2 weeks and you have to win seven matches in order
to win. Take that Super Bowl. There's four of them in tennis.
That's the takeaway from all of this. Yeah. This is more than the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You play for two entire weeks and there are 128 people starting out on the draw, like 128 men and then 128 women separately.
Right.
And it's a lot of mental toughness. Like you're out there by yourself. You're not allowed to talk to your coaches for the most part. And it's up to you. The match could be hours and hours long. It could be very quick. Time doesn't really come into it. It has like an annoyingly complicated scoring system.
it has my heart in the same way that baseball does, in which time is whatever you make it in a game. Mm-hmm. There's a certain number of outs rather than a countdown clock, right?
Right. Exactly.
I was wondering, you talked about the 128 men, 128 women. Although I would hazard a guess to say that there is not exact parity between men and women's tennis. Is it perhaps the most major sport that has the best parity between the closest in being considered as equal any sport?
Offhand, I would have to say yes. I mean,
somebody in the comments will tell us that we're wrong. But
you're wrong about this. But
WNBA maybe. But I feel like there's more famous tennis stars than I think.
But I would not knowing as much about WNBA or like women's golf. Like in tennis, it's equal pay. Like the prize money at all the majors is exactly the same, and I don't think that that's true for the other sports.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Somebody will tell us, but yeah.
Right.
It's just interesting note here. But so the Australian Open, it's considered like the first of the four Grand Slam tournaments of the year.
The year is very long. Like they play the what they call the World Tour Finals on both the women's and men's side at the end of the year in like November.
Yeah.
And the tour starts right up again. They've already played a couple of lead up events in Australia. And the Australian Open is the first big major, like the official kickoff of the new tennis season. It's like a calendar year season, unlike a lot of other sports. And it's down under. And because of COVID, there are a lot of complications.
Yes.
To, getting into the country.
Oh, is it tough to get it? Well, apparently not tough to get into the country. It was a little bit tough to get somebody out of the country. We'll get to that. Because what Ariel, I invited Ariel on. What we're going to do is we're going to run through who are, sort of the favorites to win. There is a glaring omission, I would say, as to, on the men's side. Who might be, who was one of the favorites perhaps, and we'll get into that in a bit. But yeah, we're going to walk through who are the favorites and maybe some eyes that people or some names that people can keep an eye out for as you might be looking to watch some of these games. Should we kick it off? Should we start? Pick a name out of the hat. I asked you to pick three men, three women who might be favorites to win the Australian Open.
Yes, being myself, I was not able to keep it to that low a number, it is very close. It is very close. And I just wanted to run through like a couple of favorites, outright favorites to win, a couple of my personal favorites, and then touch on like American players.
Okay.
For people who care about that stuff.
Well, I'm going to touch on the Canadian players then.
Well, it's on my list. I put them on for you especially. Okay.
All right. Okay. Where should we start then?
I guess ladies first, to use like such a outdated phrase, but, so we have, fittingly enough, Ash Barty, who is the first seed. So they give out, similar to other sports, they give, seeds out for each specific tournament, in this case, the Australian Open.
Yep.
And Ash Barty is an Australian player playing in Australia. So it is her home slam.
Yes.
And she is the first seed. She's 25 years old. She has won two Grand Slams, but not the Australian Open. She won Wimbledon last year. And it's a lot of pressure. Like it's a lot of pressure. Like Andy Murray famously like was able to win his home slam in Britain. And it's like an extra amount of pressure because there are only four Grand Slams and not everyone has a quote unquote home slam. So when you do have one, it's a big deal. She's a great player when she's playing her game.
I look her up. She's 25. That feels to me, young. I know, like, generally sports, you know, it's like, you know, 25 might actually, you know, coming to the end, you know, better think about retiring. But I mean, from tennis, if maybe feels young, but and that's just me being like, tennis. I probably only know old tennis players.
right. Tennis is a little, I guess not so different from other sports in this sense, but like, 25, I would say, is like middle of the road. Like, we're talking like Roger Federer, one of the all-time great players who isn't, is important to note, is not playing this tournament.
Yeah.
He just turned 40 last year.
Yeah.
Like the Serena, the sisters are in their late 30s. The Williams sisters, you know, Federer is 40. Nadal is in his late 30s. Like, these people would be considered ancient as far as like tennis, like the fact that they have been able to get as far as they have and be like the leaders in their sport. As far as like trophies, Grand Slam trophies is a fluke in some ways,
and, right,
you know, hadn't been seen before. Some of these like big names that like you would say are like household names,
right?
So yeah, 25 is like she's in her prime. She's in she has I would say she's probably she's definitely has many more years under her belt, but you know.
Okay, very fun. Ash Barty playing in Australia, number one seed. Can she win? That's fun. That's a fun story. That's good.
Yes. Can she win her home slam? Then we have second seed, Aryna Sabalenka, a great player that I love to watch. She is 23 years old. She is from Belarus. Arguably the best woman on tour right now, who hasn't won a slam, hasn't won any Grand Slam ever. She got to the semifinals of the US Open in September. So she's hungry. She's, you know, has been climbing the ranks the last couple of years, playing very well. And, but each slam is different. Like, you're not only playing a different tournament, you're traveling to a different country. And there's so many X factors when it comes to like these different tournaments and what players are playing hot at what time. And, you know, right now it's summer in Australia. And then you know, it's like, it's all these different factors come into play that you can't account for as a player.
Right. Looks like Sabalenka maybe was in the semifinals of both Wimbledon and the US Open. So, kind of like, you know, an out at that stage, if she could actually win that's fun too. Best player to not, I mean, ranked number two and yet hasn't won a major Grand Slam. Right. So that could be fun. That's good. Yeah.
She is itching for one, obviously. And then we have a Spanish player, Garbine Muguruza. She is 28 years old and seated number three, two-time Grand Slam finalist. Important to note that she just won the World Tour Finals at the end of last year. So there are four majors throughout the calendar year that culminate in the US Open in the fall. And then there's like the eight highest ranked players on the women's and men's side play in the World Tour Finals. And it's kind of like, you know, who's the best player. It's one of the most important tournaments that isn't a Grand Slam tournament, basically. And coming out of the win at the end of last season, that's like good for her momentum. She has won, like I said, two Grand Slams, but it's been a couple of years.
Looks like she won in 2016 and 2017.
Players who have won Grand Slams, and like, you know, the Williams sisters are great examples. Even if you don't win a slam in like many years, you are never counted out. If you're a Grand Slam champion, you kind of always have a chance to win when you're in a new tournament.
Prove you can do it.
Prove you can do it. And you have emotional, what I say anyways, like emotional experience. Like a lot of young players get to a final or even a semifinal, a quarterfinal, and it's like, it's so much pressure. And they're not able to like keep their game up. So that's certainly important experience.
Okay. I mean, so you've listed the first, second, and third seeds. How much does seeding tend to come into play? Like, is it, you know, does the first seed often pull out a victory, or is it something that, you know, every tennis tournament can?
I will say on the women's side, it's a little bit, less important. Like, I think the Williams sisters are such exceptions in so many amazing ways. But I think on the men's side, certainly when we get to it, there's like a stat that I want to pull out, but the women's winners and losers are a lot more fluid, and there's been a lot of people who have been able to break through a lot of like quote unquote unknown players that have been able to break through on the women's side. It's much more normal, I would say.
Right. I was looking at the Olympics results and like the ninth seed won, beat an unranked, at least from what I could, you know, an unseeded person, fourth seed came in third and 15th seed, you know, so that feels like there's some like, you know, obviously seeding matters, right? You get better matchups, but
yeah, right. You stay away. The thing about seeding work, how it works to your advantage is you stay away from other top seeded players in the early matches. So like if you're someone like an Andy Murray who has been like dealing with injuries, he's playing in this year's Australian Open, but because he's unseeded, he could get stuck with a very, very tough first round match,
right?
Which is like potentially like quarterfinal or beyond level of difficulty. So seeding, you know, keeps things more entertaining for the crowd, but also kind of protects the players.
He is up against the 21st seed. I will not be able to pronounce this individual's name. Nicolas Basilashvili.
Oh, Basilashvili, yeah.
Yes.
I will say that's a good point. I will say like tennis has been very good for my foreign pronunciations because it is such an international sport. I'm saying a lot of names on these lists that like I would never have been able to say if I were not a fan.
It's great. Well, I invited you so I don't have to try and as I just proved. Okay. So that's the three seeds on the women's side. Anybody else we should be watching?
Just a couple of noteworthy names that people might know. Like Naomi Osaka is one. She's 24 years old, seeded 13th.
Right.
I think she's become more of a household name. She had like her first big Grand Slam win was in that controversial final against Serena Williams in 2018 at the US Open. Mm-hmm. But she followed it up with an Australian Open win months later. Like it's pretty rare for someone to win like their first ever slam and then be able to like follow it up at the next slam with a win. She has shown that she has like amazing mental toughness when she's on. I mean, last year she had a little bit of a tough back half of the year. And she withdrew from the French Open because of like, she made headlines, like rightfully so, in my opinion, like, about like mental health and how players have to deal with like the media so much and like so intensely after matches. And she was like, I'm trying not to do that as much. And kind of like calling out for some kind of change. And she, unlike another player that we will talk about, there was a big firestorm around her, a media firestorm. And she was like, this is distracting to the sport right now. I'm going to remove myself from the situation. And
that's right. She won last year, right? She won the Australian Open last year, Naomi Osaka. I believe so.
She won, I believe, in 20, was it 2021?
2021.
Yeah, so it was last
Jennifer
year.
Jennifer Brady. She did make those headlines when she dropped out of the French Open. Has it felt, you know, maybe perhaps too soon to notice any change? Or does it feel like there's any change?
When she came back and played in the US Open, she lost, I think it was in the third or fourth round. And then she took kind of the rest of the year off. The good news for her is that she lost against a player who was really good and ended up making, deep run, if not outright winning. And again, like she's a player I would never count her out. She has mental toughness. It kind of doesn't matter what their last few months have been because she can just like remove herself from that and, just keep playing well.
Okay. Fun. Who else?
And then just a quick shout out before I get to the American player, just a quick shout out to Emma Raducanu, who is the defending Grand Slam champion. She was a 19-year-old British girl, seeded 17 here. She won the US Open last year. Okay. And it was kind of like a Cinderella. It was a Cinderella story, actually, her and Leila Fernandez, both very young. Leila Fernandez, Canadian. There you go, Grace.
Yes.
And she, you know, she has a chance because she's been through it, but she hasn't been playing that well since then. And then lastly, real quick, Coco Gauff, to shout out the American player.
Yes.
She is 17 years old, seeded 18 here, been making like really good progress. She is the youngest player to ever qualify for a main draw at Wimbledon. She was 15 and she beat Venus Williams. Like it was a big, big deal.
Venus Williams, she's pretty good, I heard.
Yeah. She's like a name that I imagine some people have heard because obviously, you know, she's an American player. She's making waves. So she's automatically covered.
Okay. Unfortunately, the biggest Canadian women's tennis star, Bianca Andreescu, is not playing in the Australian Open. So here I am to shout out the players who are not playing.
She's a great player, right? She's a great player.
She says she's looking for extra time to recover physically and mentally, so will not be heading to the Australian Open. But that's
yeah, she's had, she's had a couple of of like problems with injuries, as have a lot of players. I mean, even like the Williams sisters, who are obviously a little older than her, both of who are not playing because of injuries, I should say.
Both the Williams sisters,
yeah, they're not playing.
Okay. Okay, so that's the women's side.
Those are my three.
Those are your three. All right, very fun. I'm excited. The top three seeds, some players to look out for. Very exciting. All right, let's switch over to the men's side.
Okay, on the men's side, we no longer have a first seed.
Yeah, okay, so let's talk through this. So big story, perhaps the biggest story in tennis, unfortunately, a little bit. Mm-hmm. Let's run through. So Novak was headed to the Australian Open. He arrived. He was told he was not allowed to stay. His visa was revoked as he had, he's not vaccinated. There was an appeal on the weekend to see if he could stay. Nope, he was deported. So no, he's not in the country.
He was yeeted out of Australia. Yeah. It's been such a wild week leading up to the Australian Open. Normally the headlines are dealing with, you know, who's playing well, who's going to play. But like any, we'll get to a Canadian thing, actually, if this affected a Canadian win. Any news that tennis has been drowned out by this Djokovic controversy.
Very much so. We had lots of people asking us, are we going to cover it? We don't want it to be the headline. You know, but it is a big story. I think rightfully so. Australia, they're keeping their citizens safe. They ask that everyone's vaccinated. He's not vaccinated, so he's not welcome in Australia.
Not vaccinated. You know, it. What I can say is in his, and I use this like in all lowercase letters and like italicized. In his defense, he assumed he had been granted a medical exemption by the tennis authority, basically, in Australia, to make tennis even more complicated, each Grand Slam, each major has like its own governing body, and it's like an international entity, and they all kind of exist separately. And the tennis authority in Australia gave him a medical exemption. At the time, we didn't know what it was. It ended up being, I just had COVID, was his reasoning. Mm-hmm. And in fairness to him, he was granted the exemption. You know, he got on the plane, he got granted this visa, and he arrives in Australia, and the border patrol is like, what?
Nope.
I don't know about this. And he was detained, you know, overnight. He was questioned for hours. They're like trying to figure out like what went wrong. Apparently at first they had filed the wrong paperwork. Like it was all these like little, it was like a comedy of errors. Like that's how I've been describing it. Like all along the way, it's just like all these little things going wrong and snowballing. Anyway, so long story short, they like appeal the visa, his initial visa being revoked. He appeals it. He wins the appeal because they basically were like, okay, they're in the right. But then his visa is then revoked again by the government. So like he's all good with the tennis authority, but the government steps in and is like, no, this doesn't feel right. I mean, that's not what they said, but that's basically how it went. And it was revoked again just a couple of days ago. And then this was on Friday. He gets a last appeal. He gets another appeal. And that just happened on Sunday. And mind you, the Australian Open is starting on Monday. So even if his visa was like upheld, he's like appealing on Sunday and then has to play a 2-week tournament starting on Monday. It's insane.
Yep.
And it gets revoked. And now he's on his way to Dubai. If he hasn't already gotten there already, he was fully deported.
Yeah, I saw there's pictures of him heading to his flight. So I believe he's gone. By the time this comes out, he's for sure back. Yeah.
Most of the Twitter was like, wow, I'm surprised he's wearing a mask in the car.
Yeah. So big story. Headlines for many reasons. It's sports, it's politics, it's all mixed into one. And he is the number one seed in the world, and he is not going to be competing in the Australian Open. So the door is wide open.
The door is is wide open.
I mean, from what I've seen, there's a couple of folks who now are in contention. I mean, even if he was playing, they still were in this, but they could jump up to the number one ranking. If I'm correct. Yes.
Yeah, no, they won't. They won't replace the first seed because they had already released the draw. So they will replace his plate. They will replace his slot with what they call a lucky loser. Somebody who like got through the qualifying tournament, but didn't.
Someone gets his spot. Someone gets his number.
Wait. So they don't get the seeding, but technically they get his spot on the draw. So instead of number one, it says LL next to it, which means
They actually call him lucky loser.
Yeah, it's lucky loser. So what happens is there's a qualifying event because you're lucky that you lost.
Sure.
Like you're a qualifying event and you're like next on the list. You would have gotten in, but you didn't win the qualifying event or get high enough in it. But because you're next on the list, they need you. And it sometimes it happens nowadays where like a player gets injured and if it's like far enough in the tournament or not yet far enough in the tournament, they will replace the player for the same play. And this person who a few days ago or even like today, this morning, maybe it was like, I might not get to play. Now they're playing in the tournament.
Grab your racket, buddy. When I said the number one ranking, I do mean the, what is it called? The Association of Tennis Professionals. By Medvedev or
Daniil. Yes.
Alexander, help me out. ZV.
Daniil Medvedev, Alexander Zverev.
Either of them, if they win this tournament, will become the number one ranked ATP singles.
So the way it works with those ranking points, real quick, I will not get too far into the weeds, but like you defend your ranking, you accumulate points throughout the year based on like all the different tournaments that you play and how far you get in them. Mm-hmm. When you cannot defend your tournament, like last year, he won the Australian Open. So he got 2,000 points for winning that. This year, he can't even defend any piece of them, even like a percentage of them. So that's 2,000 fewer points that he's out automatically.
Gosh.
So that's kind of why that affects that so quickly.
Okay. All interesting, I think. Who are the favorites then if Novak Djokovic is not competing?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, the biggest thing for me real quick up top is just mentally, for a lot of players, this is like the draw has been blown wide open. Like there are people, whether they were on Djokovic's side of the draw or not, this is like a huge mental hurdle that they now do not have to deal with because Djokovic is
winningest Australian Open competitor of all time for the men's.
The men's, which is insane. It's basically like his version of a home slam. Like Federer has Wimbledon, Nadal has the French. And he and Novak has the Australian Open or did, and that's how he chose to play it, but whatever. Yep. Speaking of Daniil Medvedev, somebody that you brought up, the Russian player, he is second seeded in the tournament. He's 25 years old. He just beat Djokovic at the US Open last year, like in the fall. Right. So this is a guy who not only just won his first major, but won the arguably best player playing right now, one of the best players of all time. And now he doesn't have to play him. So it's a huge boost for him. It's funny because last year he lost to Novak in the Australian Open final. And then in a full circle moment, he won at the end of the year against him. So I think he's
great. 2021.
Yeah. Great 2021 for him.
Medvedev. Did I say it?
Yes. Medvedev.
Medvedev. I got it. I got it. Okay. Exciting. A Russian player. That's cool. Yeah. He won. Won the last one. Could he go back to back? Right. That would be. Yes.
Yeah. 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 Right. Back to back majors. Yeah.
Okay.
And then we have another player that you were pronouncing just now. Sasha Zverev. Alexander Zverev is his real name, but he goes by Sasha. German player, fourth seed right now. Again, similar to Sabalenka on the women's side, arguably the best player to never have won a slam.
Okay.
He just won the ATP World Tour Finals at the end of last year. So that's got to be great for his confidence. And he has won, or excuse me, he won has a gold, lost.
Did he win a gold medal at the 2020 Olympics? He won a gold medal?
Yes. He won gold at the Olympics and he beat Djokovic, I believe. Which is huge. Although, you know, it's like a little less playtime total because it's like four sets, but whatever, who cares? But he has lost in finals. To my previous point, there's something some players sometimes need that like the reps in of like getting to the finals and getting used to that feeling and the pressure and like, oh God, I lost. But now when I get there again, I am much more ready and prepared to make it all, or to, you know, do what it takes to win.
Youngest male finalist in the 20, he was in the 2020 US Open men's final.
Yeah.
The youngest to do so since the aforementioned Novak Djokovic. Yes. It's almost like that guy's really good at tennis.
So yeah, another guy to look for, out for. We cannot not mention one of the greatest players of all time, seated sixth here. He is 35 years old. Rafael Nadal.
Yeah, come on.
Player from Spain. One of the few household names in tennis.
Yep.
And he is tied for most men's major titles ever. So okay. Nadal, Federer, and Djokovic are all tied at 20. And now the only one who's playing in this tournament is Nadal.
That'd be fun. That's a fun story.
Like I said before about champions, you can never count him out. He plays every single point, even when he's playing well. He plays every single point like it's the last point he will ever play.
Yep.
And his injuries throughout the years have supported that.
Yes.
He's just always in the conversation if he's playing. He had some injuries in the back half of 2021 that kept him from competing. But he just won a title in Australia and won like the smaller lead up events. So that's great for his confidence, you know, assuming that his health holds up and, you know, he only has like the regular soreness and not like some crazy injury. He has a chance for sure. Not a huge chance, but a chance.
Okay. I mean, six seed. Six seed. And with that's including Novak, I think. So, I mean, yeah. Gosh, it's so sad when they're like 35. Yeah. Getting close to
ancient,
an ancient old man. Are you old man, Rafael Nadal? You're old. Sorry if you're listening, Rafael. Yeah. I would love you to win. So yeah. Okay. Who else?
And now we get to your corner.
Yes.
Félix Auger-Aliassime.
Yes.
A player who I have liked for years. I saw him play at the US Open a couple years ago, and I was
21 years old. A young Canadian kid, you know.
Yeah. 21, you said, like last year he made the fourth round or later in three of the four Grand Slams. So he's had an US Open, he made the semis. So he's had a great like last 12 months calendar year. Got to be great for his confidence. And most importantly, he just helped his team Canada win the third ever, I believe, ATP Cup. It's like a lighter version of the Olympics, like people compete as their country team.
Right.
He helped Canada win that event just a few weeks ago at the beginning of the year. So that's got to be helpful too.
Yeah. It's been fun a few years for Canadian tennis starts. There's another Canadian in the top 15 seated here. So yeah, but Félix, he's great. He's very fun to watch.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah, the other one you're talking about is Denis Shapovalov, who is a little bit more of a veteran than Auger-Aliassime, but Auger-Aliassime is playing better right now.
Yep, that veteran. He's 22 years old.
Yes. Do you see what I'm talking about?
He is a year older. That vet, rascally grizzled vet.
He's been around for longer. I'm rooting for him. Super, super sweet kid. Like, not that this should matter as much as this matters in sport to people, like just a nice, nice guy.
What happened to Miloš Raonic? He was
Raonic. Yeah,
Raonic, sorry.
He had a big.
Is he just fallen off? Just totally
yeah,
fallen
he
off.
Had a, he was a big. He had a big serve. He made it to one, at least one Wimbledon final where he lost to
Wimbledon in 2016. Yeah, 2016. He lost to Andy Murray. Actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Murray.
Yeah, but Miloš, he was the Canadian poster boy. I'm sure he's still on stuff because he was just, it was at that time, it was so big. But it sounds like he's had some injuries recently.
He had a little bit of some problems with confidence. And
anyway,
stuff.
I'm dominating the test with Canadians.
You're like, let's stay in Canadian.
Only on Canadians. Yeah.
And then, you know, switching over the border to something closer to home, we have Taylor Fritz, a young American. He's 24. He is seated 20th. He is the highest seated American right now for the Australian Open. And he had a chance to beat Djokovic at last year's Australian Open. He could not, uh, he could not make it out in the end. Mm-hmm. But he's been playing. He's had a good year, or, you know, last year he had a good year. And, you know, all of these things matter for confidence. Like I said, you know, coming out of coming into a whole new tournament. And again, you don't have to play Djokovic. You're like, all right, I already played the best of the best, arguably. So the rest is a little bit easier.
Okay, fun. Taylor Fritz. Then, hopefully he doesn't, crash out. Hopefully he doesn't get on the Fritz, you know? Sorry. Anyway, continue.
And there was like, if he doesn't peter out, I'm like, oh, if only his name were
Peter Fritz, that'd be better.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then another, just really quick to mention, Riley Opelka, another young American, also 24. He's seated a little lower down, 27th. Okay. Really big serve, but similarly, he's had a great last year or so. And, you know, all these things, the year over year results tend to have like a big effect on players' confidence.
Okay. Wow. So fun. Lots of names, lots of fun stories. Should be exciting. We will check in back on the Australian Open. We'll give it some time. We'll see preps before the end of the tournament. Preps come and see who's been playing well, who looks like they might win both the men's and the women's tournament. So thanks for coming on, Ariel.
Of course. Yeah, I'm so excited to watch. Like, for me personally, the first week, as important as the second week is, when like the later rounds start, the first week you have so many players playing, and it's where like the stories come out and the people you've never heard of like make runs, and it's just like a beautiful, beautiful time. So I'm so excited.
Feels kind of like March Madness. It's like the first round of March Madness. There's so many games. You just like, yeah, well, you know, there might be some upsets. Like,
that's,
you know,
a great, that's a great out, comp, because it's so it's so like short term and like this condensed period, and there's so much going on, and there's something for everyone, and like it's just fun to follow. And my close friends know that like I'm basically gonna be a zombie for 2 weeks, because mm-hmm. then the games start at 7 p.m. like Eastern time, which is 11 a.m. the next morning Australian time, and then go until like 3, 4, or 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
Luckily, there's DVR now, but I watch a lot of it live.
Okay, we will check in. I know there are other tennis fans out there who would love to come on too, so perhaps we'll have a bit of a crew to chat as we get deeper into the Australian Open. Thanks for coming on. What are you up to? Where can people find you?
Yeah, I had so much fun. This is beautiful. I hope I didn't get too bogged down in the deets and the names and the pronunciations and things. I'm on Twitter at that other Ariel. I do movie coverage with you.
With who?
Oh, of all people, Grace. Someone named Grace. I believe she's Canadian.
Yeah. They won't shut up about it.
On post show recaps, we cover movies. We just did Licorice Pizza and Kingsman.
One of those movies was great.
One of those movies is great. You'll have to watch.
Yeah, listen to find out.
We'll be covering Scream soon, which I'm personally very invested in. So yeah, I hope this was fun for people. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Okay, Sasha, Jason, we are back. Let's chat about, you know, some other going ons in the world of sports. We're about a week late, Sasha, but could you tell us about what happened in the college football championships?
Yes, baby. Thank God. Like I said, you know, the football god said time's up, because Georgia and Alabama were in the football college football playoffs, y'all. And then they made it. They made it to the finals. And then we were like, oh, Alabama's going to win again. Here we go.
Yeah.
Because the last time these two met, Alabama won. But listen, Georgia had a vendetta, y'all. So Georgia said, nope, not today. And even though, you know, the first two quarters were a little stressful, Georgia, first time they scored were in the second quarter.
Yes.
They won, baby. They won 33-18. They said, kick rocks, Bryce Young and Nick Saban, because they win. And it ended a 41-year drought.
Wow.
For Georgia, which I feel like is huge. Like, that's wild.
Huge.
I was at the Rose Bowl game where Georgia beat Oklahoma all those years ago. I don't even remember the year, and I don't care. Where Baker Mayfield was, you know, when it was like five overtimes or something ridiculous. And so I remember seeing Georgia. I was like, they're an amazing powerhouse team. So I thought they would have won way more, but turns out the SEC and Bama have been very dominant. So
what's happening with bowl games? Because I saw a clip go viral on Twitter where there was a Mayo Bowl And then the coach who won got mayo dumped on him.
Oh yeah, even I.
Yeah, he said. Yeah, they asked him. They were like, "If we win, will you get dunked in mayo?" And then it kind of became a trend where everyone else was like, "Well, would you do it for your team? Well, would you do it?" And then turns out, not a lot of coaches ended up doing it, y'all. It was sad.
We'll have to one week, maybe when there's more bowl games, we'll have to come up with what's the Rob as a Podcast bowl game. What does that look like? What's our sponsor? Not mayo. I mean, I love mayo, but I don't want to
have you mustard, right?
Grace, that would be the best game.
That is
forget,
good.
Forget the mustard is football. Oh,
all right. Well, game over. That's good.
No, that would be the best game. Like you have to do, is this a real bowl game?
Oh, that's good.
That's the game.
Okay, good.
Because there's some weirdo.
Yeah, there's some sponsors. Weird ones. All right. So the Georgia Bulldogs break a 41-year drought. Very exciting.
Yes. Amazing.
Folks wanted us to chat about Kevin Durant is injured. These Brooklyn Nets can't really get it together. He tore his MCL. Seems like he's going to be out to like 4 to 6 weeks. Not great. Who do you root for in the NBA, Sasha?
Are you mad after he left the...
Obviously. Come on.
Would you be mad?
Yes, everyone. It's been, I don't know how many years he's now been on two teams. Make it kick rocks. I don't care.
Hold a grudge around here.
Listen, okay, Lincoln Riley or Kevin Durant? Who does Oklahoma fans hate more now?
How did you feel about the Klay Thompson return last week?
You know, the Warriors, I don't hate them. It's just Kevin Durant made me hate them, I'm sad.
I love the absolute fire that you spit at Kevin Durant, and then Klay Thompson, you're like, yeah, it's fine.
No, there's nothing wrong with the Warriors. It's just Kevin Durant's a snake.
Yeah.
And, you know, how do you leave a team that you took to the finals? Again, I was at that game where we lost to the Warriors.
The
Thunder lost to Warriors.
Oh, you're right.
Yes. It was game seven and we lost, which is fine, whatever. But then Kevin Durant said on 4th of July, no less, he said, I need freedom. So I'm going to go to the team that get nothing.
Do you know how confused I was? You know how confused I was? Here I was
you're right.
I was thinking as you were a Bay Area fan, I was thinking, oh yeah.
Absolutely not.
You're a Warriors fan. Why I asked you about Klay Thompson. But no, this is a wound that is rather deep. This is going from back to 2016 when Kevin Durant left the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Because I was at the game in 2016 or 2015, whatever. I still have the playoff shirt, you know, that you get when you go to the playoffs.
That are like way too big.
Not worn it once because every time I see that shirt, I want to burn it. So
I was about to throw the Raptors beat the Warriors. Like we beat Kevin Durant, but you don't care about that.
I have no shade to the Warriors. I feel like they're a great team. They deserve the win. You know, their fans are super they've hung in there for a while, but snakery. And that's why. But I want the Nets to be super healthy, where Kevin Durant's tweeting from his alternate Twitter account saying, wow, Kevin Durant's the best shape of his life, right? I want that. And then I want them to lose. I don't want this injury. What is it? Our flat earther being anti-vaxxer, whatever. I don't want these people out. I want.
You can only play road games. Kyrie.
Probably in Oklahoma, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I don't want that. I want them to be complete. And my dad's team is the best. Whatever. I want them to be full and then lose. Okay, that's how much I hate Kevin.
Well, you feel about him how I felt about Ben being embarrassed.
Correct.
Last night. Yeah.
Correct.
I feel you.
All right. Very quickly, I just wanted to touch on the Africa Cup of Nations is currently ongoing. We will have coverage of that as we get closer, more into the knockout stage, as we get closer to the finals. We're also going to chat about European soccer, the state of the world in a couple of weeks. But big news, Algeria lost to Equatorial Guinea, which is a big upset. Algeria are the reigning champions, the defending champions of the Africa Cup of Nations. And it actually seems like they might get knocked out in the group stage. So, lots of upsets happening in the group stage in the Africa Cup of Nations, but just wanted to touch on that.
Now, which team does Ted Lasso coach?
For the Africa Cup of Nations.
It's about as far as my football knowledge.
Yeah, I was like, football.
Football is life, as we all know.
Gotta believe.
Yeah. What's switching gears here, the 49ers Cowboy games, actually maybe perhaps the most fitting game to be on Nickelodeon last week. The Nickelodeon game. Did either of you catch any glimpses either by watching it or catching it on Twitter? It's quite the spectacular they threw together, the Nickelodeon game.
Yeah, I watched it a little bit last year when they started it, and then I watched some of the highlights from this year. It's a, you know, it's a little fun thing. It's a if you have somebody that is like has no knowledge of football, they do a good job of explaining what football is and the rules and the penalties and all that, because they have a lot of kids watching that probably haven't watched a lot. But you know, some of the animatronics, the animations are fun. They have, you know, the SpongeBob characters and the field goal brackets. They have the slime cannons going whenever somebody scores. They got little animations for like, they have like the burning fire under people when they're running.
Yeah. Especially, I loved it.
Did you see the post game interview, the kid reporter interviewing Debo?
That's exactly what I have in my notes, Grace. Sorry, I just we're on the same wavelength. Yeah, Dylan interviewing Debo. It was the most wholesome thing I've ever seen. Like, was Debo so taken by Young? Right? Like, it was so sweet where I don't know. I appreciated the whole interview, and Young Dylan was very good. Like, he was into it. He had his stats ready to go, everything. So I don't know.
He's a professional.
I loved it. And yeah, I have a niece who, when she comes over to my house, will watch sports with us. And she's like, so they just have to get to that line. And I was like, yeah, but the line is not real, like the yellow line. And so trying to explain that, so I was like, oh, she would have loved to watch this, because she's really into like moving around and sports. And she's like, great, I'm going to try to run like this now. Nice. So I think people like even kids, like she's six, and it would have been so sweet for her to watch.
So Kyle Juszczyk gets slimed in his uniform.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I was a big Kyle Juszczyk fan ever since he was in Baltimore. So that was fun.
So if we could throw an NFL game, actually we could open this up to any sport. If we could get another channel to cover a game of something, where should we go next? Nickelodeon has broken the mold. What channel do we want to see covering an NFL game or anything else for that matter? Is there any good ones?
How about like a Bravo?
Yeah.
Like, whenever they score, they get wine poured on them or something.
And they should have to have like a real, every player should have to have like a Real Housewives intro.
No, yeah, that's exactly. And
that's good.
Every time they score, like someone should flip a table.
Okay.
Like, you know,
instead of the Bills going through a table, they flip one.
Yeah, I could see. What about the History Channel, though? They run it like an old Civil War document, God, where like it's all in black and white. You know, there's like, you know, that'd be great.
We need people to everywhere. Love football. Yeah. they'd be like, so the last time the Bengals won was 31 years ago. So in the 90s, this is, you know, like they just keep going, and then they'd forget to actually show the whole game.
But you have to go back to those leather helmets they used to wear back in the day, like when they first started football.
Well, there's hockey has the Winter Classic every year, which like, you know, an outdoor stadium. Yeah, but I'd watch. Perhaps we're not for their head safety, but you know, a game where they're all wearing leather helmets and whatnot. I think the HBO game would be risque. I feel like that could
then
would
they be need wild. Viagra.
Yeah, we'll allow it.
HBO After Dark only. I also think VH1 would be hilarious because of just all the OG shows that were on VH1. I don't know. I feel like Mama D and the cast of Love and Hip Hop have to be the ones that are commentating on the game, because I can't imagine.
I want Tiffany Pollard up there to be.
Imagine.
To be a sideline reporter. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, we could get it on Paramount Plus. What twists do we want to add to the? You said earlier that the seventh seed is kind of like the fire making twist. We could just add fire making to the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
if you tie like the Raiders and Chargers did.
Yeah, that would have had to go into a fire making twist.
Yeah. The coin Derek flip. Carr Jeff comes out. Jeff comes out and reveals who won the coin flip out of there.
That's right. That's right.
Oh yeah.
This is great. If anybody else who's listening has suggestions for what channel they'd like to see pilot an NFL game, let us know. So I think that's it for the week. Sasha, Jason, thanks for joining. Sasha, where can people find you? What are you up to?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at funsize_04. Thank you so much, Grace, for having me. This was genuinely so much fun. And I if you want to know more or just just hear me a little bit more, you can check me out over at Silent Podcast. You can just search Silent Podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And I'm covering The Amazing Race on there. Ooh. But there's other things we're covering as well, like Project Runway and The Penthouse as well is coming back. So and Drag Race as well. So I'm going to be every Friday. I think it might go live. If you loved Jason and I, Jason will be my guest this week.
Amazing.
So we'll be talking The Amazing Race after the 19, what was it? How many? 19 months,
19 months
detour.
Yeah.
We're back. So I don't know if you're watching it, Grace, but you gotta come if you are.
I'm great. Watching.
So Grace will be there too, y'all. Okay. Eventually.
I'll make a pit stop.
Yes. Oh, love it. Yeah. Grace will be showing up. So go check it out. Thank you so much again for having me. So much fun.
Jason, where can people find you and what are you up to?
I'm on Twitter at JAYR1085. I'm doing coverage with Asia Welch of Married at First Sight. We just started that a few weeks ago when the season started. We're having a lot of fun over there. So check us out there. As Sasha mentioned, this is a big Joshua week. So I will be over there with her on The Amazing Race.
I love that.
I also just the other day was on the wrap up show on post show recaps of Cobra Kai. So go check me out there as well.
Very fun. I am on Twitter at @Grace, doing some stuff over on post show recaps, covering Euphoria season 2. That has been a wild ride, doing that with Amon Adwin and a variety of guests each week. Also doing lots of movie coverage. This week we'll have coverage of Scream 5. Last week we covered Kingsman and Licorice Pizza. So do that with Ariel, who you heard on this episode today. And Yellow Jackets. We released daily Yellow Jackets podcast. Yellow Jackets, a Showtime show. We sort of caught on, I think it had aired 6 episodes or so. We heard it was good. So Josh Wigler, Jess Sterling, and I started binge. We would watch an episode and then record a podcast. And we did the last few weeks, we did 10 podcasts on that show. And then we'll have a couple of feedback shows coming this week. So check that out over on post show recaps. If you enjoyed this podcast, if you enjoyed other podcasts in this feed, consider becoming a Patreon of Rob Has a Podcast, patreon.com/Rob Has a Podcast, to get lots of bonus content, a great community of people, and lots more. We will be back next week. Thanks. And this is where we say, Sasha, right? The podcast is over.